You guys have really gotten good.
We're getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah. Remember, do you remember when they first started? You couldn't do this.
We were a comedy act.
No, you guys are okay, but you had heart. You still have heart. Thank you. Say, I learned something this week. An email and a phone call. Our services are on email now. Steve Long's been putting them on email. First one came from Pogachnik's down there in Texas, saying thanks for putting on Del Swanson's funeral. And really nice, you know, how nice a job Wally did and how good the congregation was, how nice a service it is for those who weren't able to get here. The second one I got from my buddy up in Winnipeg, saying, oh, I got on your website and heard your sermon. He told me about me talking about some dog story. And he says, you know, now I can just sit at my kitchen table and have a cup of coffee and a smoke, and I don't even have to put anything in the offering. So that website is really working. So I thought, if they're going to put this on the website, I better sound like a radio announcer. Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our church here in downtown Malmo, where the weather is 72 degrees, the skies are blue, and the deer are playing in the fields. The fish are jumping in the boats. There has been no snow. Everybody is healthy, and we're living very well. Yeah, but I don't think I'll go there. Okay. Midweek services have started. If you'd like to join us, 6:30 Wednesday nights during the season of Lent, and then 5:30 for a potluck if you'd like to join us for that. It's always good for fellowship, so I hope the potlucks are good for fellowship, but the worship, you know, Lent is a time to take a look at our lives, how we're living, how we're treating our neighbors, how we're fighting the good fight. And so traditionally during the season of Lent, there's no celebrations, no funerals. Wouldn't that be good? No weddings, no baptisms. This is a time just to concentrate on our relationship with God and with each other. So as part of an extra little incentive, we offer these midweek services. So please join us if you're able. I think all the rest of the announcements you can be responsible for. It's nice to have you here. Faithful, I don't see any visitors, so you all know the routine. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, on this snowy morning, where the winds are blowing, we're reminded that the storms of life blow upon everyone, the just and the unjust. We ask your presence to be with us this morning as we think on these things. Some of us are going through difficult times, hard times. We don't know, some of us, where to turn. But we know that if we keep our eyes focused on you, your promise is you will always be with us. Some of us are living the best lives we've ever had, where the fish do bite, and the family is well, and we are healthy. We pray, O Lord, that we might use our gifts and talents to help others down the journey of life. And we thank you for these many blessings. But most of all, as we gather here this morning and we focus our thoughts on your cross, we are thankful for your Son that has won the battle for us. He has fought the good fight, and the promise is life everlasting. So awaken in us the desire to live for you as we worship this morning. We pray it in your Son's name. Amen. Our opening hymn is 325. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God, we confess that we are not ready. We try to fill our lives with temporary pleasure, and we feel the emptiness of our pursuits. We distract ourselves from our pain with toys and gadgets, but we know the sadness when the novelty wears off. We dream of a day when we'll have it all together, but we know the futility of our own ambition. God, we confess that we are not ready for the return of your Son. Forgive our sinful condition and show us how to live and love for one another. Hear God's good news for us. Our God is a great God and knows us better than any person. God knows our sinful condition and the dark desires of our human hearts. God knows our attraction to the temporary and the distraction of our desires. God knows we need a Savior. In Christ Jesus, God forgives our sinful selves through a life of love, a death on the cross, and a resurrection from the grave. God gives us power to forgive each other through the activity of the Holy Spirit, who moves through us and lives in us. God in Christ is coming again. Praise God.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, Heavenly Father, in the waters of the flood you saved the chosen, and in the wilderness of temptation you protected your Son from sin. Renew us in the gift of baptism. May your holy angels be with us, that the wicked foe may have no power over us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the bell choir to sing their praises.
Thank you. first reading for today is from the book of Genesis. Today's reading is a conclusion to the flood story. Because of human sin, the Lord destroys the earth by flood, saving only Noah, his family, and the animals on the ark. Yet divine destruction gives way to divine commitment. As in the first creation, God blesses humanity and establishes a covenant with all creatures. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as come out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, and never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my vow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the vow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me, you, and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the vow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature that is all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." The psalm for today is Psalm 25. Where there's a boulder, please repeat the refrain, "Your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness." To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you I have trusted all the day long. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. You are gracious and upright, O Lord. Therefore you teach sinners in your way. Your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness. You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way. All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness. To those who keep your covenant and your testimonies. Your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness. The end of the readings. Please rise for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for the first Sunday of Lent is found in the first chapter of St. Mark, beginning with the 9th verse. The Spirit that comes upon Jesus at his baptism sustains him when he is tested by Satan, so that he might proclaim the good news of God's reign. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heaven torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, "Thy Holy Wings." 6:13. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I love that song. That song's going to be played at my funeral if I have anything to say about it. Thy Holy Wings. Our lesson today, I like the Noah lesson. God tells Noah to build a large boat. Noah builds that boat. Noah and his family, his wife and three sons and their wives and all the animals they collect climb on. Onto that boat we call an ark, huh? Children know that story quite well. All of us have heard that story since we were wee lads and lassies. The important part of that story, however, occurs when the waters begin to recede and God comes to Noah and the sons with this promise. He says, I now establish my covenant with you, my promise with you, and with your descendants after you, and every living creature that was with you. The birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth, he says, I will establish my covenant with you. And this is the covenant. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God says, this is my covenant, my promise that I'm making between me and between you. I've sent my rainbow in the sky, in the clouds, and it'll be a sign of the promise between me and between the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth, the author says, and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living things. Never again will the water become flood to destroy the earth. This is an important story because it tells us that every time we see a rainbow, it's more than sunlight reflecting through a water vapor. It's a reminder of God's covenant, God's promise to us. It's a reminder that of God's love for us. It's a reminder that no matter how disappointed God might be with humanity, never again will this story ever be repeated. My guess is that as I think about this story in our materialistic world, most people who see the rainbow think of the pot of gold that's at the end of the rainbow, huh? Rather than God's promise. And that's a shame because God's promise is worth far more than a pot of gold. Besides, according to the popular legend, the pot of gold is guarded by some kind of mischievous leprechaun. Took my dog to be trimmed this week. The lady trimmer put on a big green rainbow, said, "I'm Irish." And then she says, "You know, if you see that rainbow, you got that leprechaun with the pot of gold." And she told me a story. She said, once there was this great field full of shrubbery. A man found the pot of gold underneath one of those shrubs. He tricked the leprechaun into he put a nice bow on top of that shrub to remind him where it was. He tricked the leprechaun into saying, "Don't touch that bow that I put on. I got to go get a shovel so I can dig the pot of gold out." So he goes, comes back, and that whole field, every shrub has a big bow on it. Must have been a Finlander. Anyway, that's why you and I never run into anyone who's ever found a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Leprechauns tricked him out of it. You've probably been tricked once or twice, Aileen. Yeah, I've probably been tricked out of it too. And those of us who think that we're going to plan our retirement by finding that pot of gold, you might as well bet on the lottery. Got about just as much chance of winning that as you do of finding a pot of gold. That's my political announcement for the day. The point of this lesson is that God has made a covenant with us, all right? If you could remind yourself of that every time you see a rainbow, it would help you deal with every aspect of your life. God has made a covenant with us, a promise to us. The rainbow is just one part of that covenant. The cross is even a more important symbol of the promise God has made to us. I was watching one of those auction house shows on TV as I pushed my 282 stations. And they showed a thing that on May 13th, 1993, there were two slivers of the olive tree that were said to be a part of Jesus' cross that were auctioned off. I had to tune in to find out what was going on. Some woman had paid $180,000 for these two slivers of the cross that they thought was Jesus' cross. That was in 1993. It had a Vatican rubber stamp on there that was issued in 1855 that authenticated these slivers of wood. And I wish I would have got in on that. But who knows what motives this woman had when she was bidding on these slivers of the cross. Maybe she had more money than sense. Or maybe she bought them on the whim. Maybe, on the other hand, she reverently encased them and put them in and made some kind of a worship center in her house. Maybe she carries them with her and touches them and reminds her every moment of every day of what Jesus has done on her behalf. I don't know, but the cross is a symbol and a sign, every much as the rainbow is, of the promise that God has made to us. And so this is the first Sunday of the season of Lent. We're preparing ourselves for the celebration of Christ's death and resurrection during this season. Truly what followed in those 3 days in Jerusalem more than 2,000 years ago dwarfs even what the rainbow that Noah saw in the sky means to us. And yet they're a part and parcel of the same story, God's love for a fallen humanity. God in Noah promises, never again will he destroy the earth. God in Jesus says, I will always be with you. Your sins are wiped away, forgiven as far as the east is from the west. Both declare this mighty truth that God is not interested in punishing humanity for its sin, but he wants to save humanity from that sin. You and I all know John 3:16, but John 3:17 is every bit as important. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." That's been God's intent since the beginning of time, that he might save the world and save us and be with us. He's in our corner. He promises he'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's what the rainbow in the sky means. Every time you see it, give thanks. Every time you see it, It should remind you of God's promise to us and to all humanity. That's particularly good to know when the storm clouds are rising around you and you think there might be a flood coming up in your life, huh? These past few years have been devastating for many, many families when you think about it. And I'm not just thinking about those who have been affected by actual floods up in New England or down in the southern part of the states. I'm not thinking about the droughts or the wildfires that hit places in Texas or the tornadoes that rolled through the Midwest. I'm thinking of events like the flood of foreclosures that have come upon family and friends, the flood of lost jobs that has happened in our United States these past years. I mean, studies show that children have been affected more by the economic downturn than any other time in the 20th and 21st century. It's been a slow recovery. The floods have hit, caused downright depression in families with kids. But even when economic times are good, there are other calamities that come upon us. Other floodwaters, huh? Like they did on Noah's neighbors, huh? Floodwaters that hit us, sickness, death, divorce. Sooner or later, the floodwaters start rising in our life. Some of us make it through life with relatively few storm clouds. Some of us are looking over our shoulders, waiting for it to come. But we've been fortunate. But no one escapes. That's the bottom line. No one escapes this world that way. There's a Jewish legend called the Sorrow Tree. According to the legend, on the Day of Judgment, everyone's allowed to bring all of their unhappiness and hang it on a branch in the garden. This garden is called, the tree there is called the Sorrow Tree. Each person's going to walk around then, and you can pick out some other sorrow or some other problem that's hanging on the branches. Anyone can feel freely to choose someone else's happiness instead of their own. But in that legend, as it concludes, no one chooses anyone else's sorrows. Everyone will reclaim their own. They figure, I can handle this. I know what this is going on. But the point is, everybody has them. That's a way of saying sooner or later, all of us are going to experience floodwaters in our lives. All of us are going to have adversity. I dare say that some of you have already had. I know some of you already had floodwaters. Others of us, it's going to come someday, soon. I think we should acknowledge that truth. We should recognize it, huh? TV evangelists sometimes give you the impression that if you trust Christ, your life is going to be one long stream of blessings. I'll tell you right now, that's a lie. That's a lie. Your heart, your soul, your mind will be blessed, but the floods are still going to rise. That's the truth. A pastor friend of mine tells about a woman in his congregation named Lynn. Lynn was a woman who was seeking for the truth. Even though she had been a member of a Christian church, she began an intense search of Buddhism. The reason she chose Buddhism is that Lynn was impacted by the suffering of the world. And she wondered, why is suffering happening in the world? And Buddhism deals with a lot of suffering. So she began the path toward Buddhism, studying, seeking an answer on how to deal with all the suffering in the world. However, it was through her seeking an answer through Buddhism that she was led back to Jesus Christ. As she thought more and more and more about suffering and why it happens, she eventually looked back at Jesus in a new way and saw that Jesus had also suffered. He'd suffered a pain in his heart, as well as a pain of his body. She saw Jesus answering in a new way the questions she'd been asking about suffering. She could have come to this understanding of the suffering of Christ a lot sooner, but the church that she had known had painted an entirely different Christ, a Christ who was always happy, a Christ who was always positive. She realized that what she had been presented to her was only a half-truth. It was only the victorious Christ without the suffering Messiah that she had learned. And she didn't relate to just a happy Christ. I think we need to be honest about it, lest others misunderstand. Sometimes some of the best people that God ever created suffer horribly. People who play the bells or sing in the choir, people who teach Sunday school or education classes, people who make hot dishes, people who serve on church boards. No one escapes. And the vexing part is that we don't know why tough things happen. A good friend of mine, pastor friend in Hinckley, had a funeral service Friday for a 51-year-old who committed suicide. His high school daughter found him as he shot himself. He says, why does that happen? We talked about it. Why does that happen? A young minister was in his office when a lady, a stranger to him, came into the church, into his office. Said, are you the minister here? He says, yeah. I says, come with me. And they went out into the parking lot. There in the back seat of her car was a twisted figure of a man. She waved her hand, referring to the man, and says, this is my brother. He was paralyzed in an accident caused by a drunk driver. If you are a man of God, do one of two things. Either heal him or explain why this happened. And he couldn't do either. And neither can I. I can't tell you why suffering comes. I can only point to you a rainbow. I can only point out to you a cross and say to you that God hasn't forgotten us. God has promised that he will not forsake us when the flood waters rise. The flood waters of sorrow or pain or suffering. When they threaten us, we've got to hold on to that promise. That's what this lesson is about today. That promise has sustained millions of people throughout the centuries. That's what makes the difference in a Christian's life, to hold on to that promise. Christians don't look at life through rose-colored glasses. Huh? We know that there are going to be storms. We know that the floodwaters will rise. But God has promised us that they will never overwhelm us. And so in the storms, look for the signs of the rainbow, and it's there. And it'll always be there. That's what the story from Noah tells us. Even more important, we can see that promise in the cross upon which Christ died. Huh? God has made a covenant with us. That covenant will never fail us. Amen. God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. Let's join together in singing hymn 608.
Thank you.
Please rise. Please turn to the offertory prayer on page 4. Let us pray together. God, giver of every good and perfect gift, we thank you for the daily blessings of life, for food and family, for friends and neighbors, for the gift of life itself, we give you thanks. Bless these offerings of our treasure, that they may be used wisely in your service. Amen. We cry to you for help, O God, praying for the church, the world, and all those who are in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. We pray for the church in this season of Lent, for our denomination and our full communion partners, for our congregation and other congregation in our communities, for those persons preparing for baptism. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the wild beasts, the birds, the domestic animals, and every living creature, for the wilderness areas on this continent, for rain, enough but not too much. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those countries, cities, and villages that have been ravaged by floods, for those who provide leadership in times of chaos, for disaster relief workers and aid organizations. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for people in prison, for those who live in long-term care facilities, for the homeless, for the sick, especially those who we name in our hearts before you. We pray for the dying and those who will die today. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for this community, for single people, for married couples, and those who are divorced, for widows and widowers, for children and youth, for those who come here in need of good news. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for family and friends. We thank you for this place where we can worship freely in this country. We especially thank you for your Son, Jesus, and your Spirit that fills us. Help us to walk close to you this Lenten season. Help us to learn and to grow in our faith and in our behavior. Help us to mature in deep and abiding love. We thank you for the everlasting covenant you have made with all flesh. And we remember our ancestors and loved ones who know the fulfillment of your promises. Lord, in your mercy. Now is the acceptable time to offer our prayers to you, God of grace and truth. Receive them in your mercy and grant us all that we need. In Jesus' name. Let's join in the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 438.
When the stars begin to fall, you will hear the trumpet sound to wake the nations underground. Looking to my God's right hand when the stars begin to fall, my Lord.